Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have my inspiring friend, Kara Brown, back as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about art, beauty, creativity, curiosity, and how they all add joy to life. Hello, Kara.
Hello, Margot Joy. It is a joy to be here with you. I love that your mother gave you that name.
You know, that's the funny thing about it. My mom didn't give it to me.
Oh, did you give it to yourself?
Yes. Oh, I wrote about it in
my
book. Yeah, no, here's the funny thing. Okay, so I also wanted to start out talking about our moms, and that brought them moms right into the conversation here at the beginning. But, yeah, what happened is I was born on Christmas Day, which she always made. I was her first of five kids, and she always called me her Christmas present. But, yeah, no, she had our middle names. All of us girls had Anne as a middle name because of her grandmother, I think it was. And what happened is while I was out walking one day, I was thinking about the fact that Susan Jeffers in her book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, had said to name your chatterbox, which is she called your lower self. And I was thinking, well, what do I want to call my lower self? And I thought Jinx. I was out walking, and I thought Jinx is my lower self, the one that gets that negative voice that goes on in your head. And then I thought, well, I don't want to just name my lower self. I want to name my higher self, too. And I thought, well, that would be joy. And joy goes with Christmas anyway, so it seemed kind of like it made sense for her to name me Margot Joy. But, yeah, it reminds me, it's a reminder for me constantly to listen to joy, my inner being, instead of all the outside voices. And, yeah, so that's the story of how... Oh, I became Margot Joy.
I love it. I love it. And your mom is okay that you changed from Anne to Joy? Or is it just what you call yourself? It's not your legal name.
You know, I didn't ever change it legally, and you don't really have to. I just have all these different names.
I love it. It's like royalty. People with royalty have all these names.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm named after my grandmothers, both of my grandmothers, so... My first name is a translation because my mother is 100% Croatian, and my Croatian grandmother's name was Draga, D-R-A-G-A. And so in English, that would be Draga. And they thought, that's probably not a good name to give an American little girl. So it means dear, as in D-E-A-R, you know, cherished.
Uh-huh.
And so
yeah.
They went to Italian. So I'm Cara. And it's not Cara, it's Cara. And then middle name is Margaret, which is sort of like
Margaret
Margot.
Is your middle name?
Yes, it's my dad's mom.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay, here's another ooga booga. I mean, I know we're live and everything, but my mom actually named me Margaret after her mom originally. So Margot was a nickname. And then I decided in my early 20s I wanted to spell it G-A-U-X because I didn't want it to just be boring looking. So...
This is fun.
Yeah, well, I got one for you on Dudley, too. You know, his mom was English and his dad was Hungarian, 100% Hungarian, and had come here from Hungary. And they named him Dudley after his mom's brother. And then they realized after about a year that they couldn't tell the Hungarian relatives his first name because in old Hungarian, it meant doodly. Or, I mean, it was pronounced doodly, and it meant teething ring.
Oh, that's funny.
So they added Thomas on in front of his name, which he never uses. So, yeah. Okay, well, anyway, now that we have everybody's names figured out, how did your mom get the name Niz, by the way, speaking of that?
My mother goes by Niz, N-I-Z, like zebra. And that her maiden name is Nizetich. She's Amelia Karla Nizetich. That's her given name. And it's Karla with an L. And I'm not named after her. It's similar, but it's confusing. Anyway, so she was from an old country family. Her parents were immigrants, and she was called Melia at home instead of Amelia. So she didn't feel like Amelia was her name, and so no one but the teachers called her that, the nuns in Catholic school. So she just said, just call me Niz. So she sort of made up, like you, a name for herself. And she's such a Niz. It's amazing. She's so not
I love
not
that
a,
name.
Amelia.
And you're right. I've met her, and that definitely reminds me of her. You know, I think people sort of just pick names for kids by what they like and what they don't like and who has the names already and in their family or that sort of thing. So either naming them after someone in the family or not wanting to name them after somebody in the family or whatever, you know. So, yeah, names are a funny thing. But, yeah, it has to you have to resonate with whatever it is. And
it's so personal. It's really personal. It's part of, like our soul, I think, you know, to have like people call me Kara all the time, and I only correct the people I care about, you know, where it matters. And I just say, please call me Kara, because Kara isn't my name. It's somebody else's name.
Right, exactly.
So it's a funny thing. And so because of that, I try to be really sensitive to what other people's names are and how they want them pronounced, because there's something about having... What is that Thich Nhat Hanh chant, please call me by my true name? You know, it's they're like calling someone by their real name is something really potent and powerful and loving and seeing. So, and it's something our world could use plenty of right now, to be known by our real name.
Oh, boy, yes. So true. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, before we get into talking about all the other things we want to talk about, I wanted to mention Happy Mother's Day to your mom for this weekend. And
thank you. And to you for your mom. I know your mom isn't in her body anymore, but I know she's still in your life. So.
Oh, yeah. She's my angel in the sun, and she is with me like 99% of the time. The only time she's not with me when I can't feel her is if I'm feeling depressed and sad and down, and which luckily I know how to get out of that really pretty quickly, but most of the time. But boy, this last year.
And happy Mother's Day to you. You're a mom.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, I'm a mom of Xander Denader, who his name was actually, we named him Alexander Laszlo Denader, and when he was growing up, he was always Alex, and there were like so many Alexes that he became Xander, Z-A-N-D-E-R, when he went off to college. One of his friends said, there's too many Alexes, I'm going to call you Xander. So, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that would probably be happier if they'd let themselves or their families rename themselves.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Well, oh, anyway, so for Mother's Day weekend, though, you're going to have open studios again this year, right?
I am. I was listening to our last conversation, which was at the beginning of 2020. It was, I think, your first show of the year. And you asked me if I was doing open studios, and I said, yes, as long as everything I expect to, is what I said. So... it's very funny how it ends up that I didn't actually do open studios last year because it didn't happen. So we weren't there, right? We were still right in the throes of the scary part of this whole thing. So it is happening. I had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for your visit last weekend. It was part of a whole bunch of people with lots of appreciation, and people took art home, and it just felt like it hasn't felt in years. It was wonderful. And I have another weekend coming up, 11 to 6 on Saturday for anyone's local, and 11 to 5 on Sunday. I'm going to close an hour early so I can go be with my mom for Mother's Day dinner. And I invite you to come to Larkspur. The information is on my Facebook page, Kara Brown, as well as Life in Full Color. And anyway,
your website, Life in Full Color. I absolutely love the website, Life in Full Color. I mean, that's the way I want to live life, is in full color. So
I don't live
relate.
In a black and white world. I just don't. I know that it's really not in aesthetic style right now. Everything is black and white and gray and muted colors, and I'm just going to hang out here and wait for color to come back, because I can't like what I don't like. You know, it just,
I can't either. And that's the thing. I refuse to, quote, like anything that just because everybody else is liking it. That seems like such a silly idea to me. But, yeah, color has always been a passion of mine. So that's one of the reasons why, as soon as we discovered you, I think might have been in 2016 when my sisters had come down and wanted to do the Open Studios tour during Mother's Day weekend. And
I remember your sisters. I just want to say back to what you just said. Do you know that quote? It's really famous, but Oscar Wilde said, "Be yourself. Everyone else is spoken for."
I know. And I'm glad you reminded me of it, though, because, yeah, it's so incredibly important to be yourself, to be who you're supposed to be, and not to try and be like everybody else. We live in a world, though, where everybody wants to try and make you be like them. And that's just plain ridiculous. And plus, think how boring it would be if everybody was the same.
I think it comes from a sense of insecurity, you know, not being certain that who we really are is okay, is wanted. And so, I don't know. It's been a different year. I am not the same person although it seems like it, down inside, I am not the same person as I was the last time we talked. And I'm glad. I'm glad that I have let myself be impacted by this, because this has been probably the biggest cultural thing that will ever happen in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. Certainly more, there isn't a part of the planet it hasn't had its effect on. And what happened with me is really surprising. Is it really quieted down my ambition? So there you have it. And I think that it's purposeful that that's the case, because I wrote a piece. I'm starting to write these sort of poemish things. I'm not really bold enough to call them actually poetry, but they're sort of structured language in a way, you know, not just paragraphs.
Right.
But I wrote one just before Open Studios, because I've been very quiet with my list, and I felt like I needed to sort of catch everyone up. And at the end it said, "What happened to that driver that I used to get myself to get things done?" Like the whip cracker. And it feels like, you know, come on, car, you got to do this. You better get this done. You got to do this, and you got to do this, and you stay up till midnight, and you get it all done. And it's just not there. At least it's been defanged in a way. So
defanged. I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you're right. This whole year has caused us all to slow down and really take a look at things and to take a look at what our values are. And it's forced some people to take a look at who they are and what matters most to them, what their values are. And, for some people it really has changed them. For others, maybe not. But that's, you know, that whole thing about being yourself is so important. And for me, I love to separate it, be your, and then capital S, self, because your capital S self is the inner you, who you really are, not just who everybody else told you you could be or should be or they want you to be, you know, that sort of thing. And I think that is something that we all need to do. We all need to be able to be quiet enough to be able to listen to our inner being and find out what our inner being has to say about life.
And I've also come to see that that everyone is where they are, you know? So there are ideals that we, some of us have certain perspectives about what would be good and what would bring more joy and what would make people more free and what would have them live more fulfilling lives. And then mm-hmm. there are people who are just not there. And I was listening to, do you know who Anthony DeMello is? He was a Jesuit priest from India, but he really went outside the Catholic kind of dogma and did a lot of speaking and writing about people just, you know, like he has a book that was published posthumously called Stop Fixing Yourself. And
I'm not familiar with him. But
says
anyway,
it all.
Yeah.
I wasn't either. He's new to me. But I'm a big Audible listener. I love to listen because I can listen while I paint or while I hike or whatever. And
uh-huh.
although I probably shouldn't, I probably would find more meditation and not multitasking so much. But otherwise, I wouldn't read. I wouldn't get books
in
my being.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Anyway, he was speaking about the fact that you cannot make anybody grow. You can't impact anyone without their permission, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something I really appreciate about that because it gives them there's this word sovereignty that's all over the place these days in some circles, and you know, it allows them their sovereignty. If that's not their life path to have a massive transformation in this life, then it's not their life path. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're still a child of God, and they're still here, and they're still, you know, due their respect and their space and where they are. I don't know. I just, it feels really like I can just sort of, you know, I don't have to change the world. That's another
yeah.
thing that's
you know,
come.
I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way, and that I learned that lesson a while ago. It's one of the things that I've written about in my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, which is really, you know, it's life lessons from my life and from the things I've learned from teachers, family members, mentors, my own mistakes and successes or everything. But it's just, yeah, I mean, we can't change other people. And it's so funny because when I was younger, I would get depressed when I couldn't change somebody else and make them do what I wanted them to do or like me or love me or accept me how I am or that sort of thing. But if we could do that to other people, they'd be able to do it to us too. So, yeah.
Well, and I think what's more pertinent and more effective, if that's what we're into, is
mm-hmm.
friendship. You
know,
there are a couple of people in my art groups who have political views that are diametrically opposed from others, from most
right.
of the others in our group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it has been really important to me that they feel just as safe and just as much a sense of belonging. And so though people might think it's sticking your head in the sand, I say we just don't go there. That's not our purpose.
Right.
It's not what we're about.
And
right. there's genuine affinity. And we hug just as closely, and I say I love you just as much to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not they're people, you know, first. And I don't
right.
know. That's been something that's been a long-term time coming, but with this last year, it feels like even more like solid in me that this is, and I have this strange, not strange, but I just have this curious, I should say, curious desire to somehow share this, and like here I am wanting to change, right? Wanting people to be like this, but because it feels like there's so much acrimony and dissent, and not dissent, but polarization. You know, that's the big word.
Yeah, separation and not. Yeah, well, you know,
disconnection.
I feel
And we're both about connection. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's
extending
makes it even
the hand
more
of friendship.
We're aware of it. Yeah. This feeling of disconnection that so many people have, and that makes me sad. And I'm so thankful that I grew up with a mom who accepted everybody for who they were. And you know, she had five of us, and, you know, she didn't try to change any of us. And she always managed to make us all feel like we were special. So, you know, I'm very, very thankful for that, because I think that's a lot of why I do the same thing you do, is that even if people have different views, I look for what we have in common and ways that we can connect and ways that we're human. That's why, you know, kindness is so important to me too, you know.
Before the show started, you and I were talking about your C's, your
oh,
your,
yeah.
And the, one of the two that came in is curiosity. And
right.
I was raised by an insanely curious father. He was mostly curious about the natural world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Wikipedia came around, my dad thought he was in heaven. So I know that that's a trait I've inherited from him. But I think if we could turn that on someone who has different views than we are, genuinely, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
how is it that you – that this matters to you. Can you help me understand that? And
right.
I think that's a massive kind of paradigm shift, instead of turning your back on someone, or worse, going, how is it that you tick like that? So
yeah,
I don't know that
we
have to go here, did we?
God, you know, the time just flies by when we're talking. I can't believe it. And I have to say that Dudley, my husband Dudley, came in and handed me a note a little while ago. He says, "You spoke about my name but didn't mention my mom's name is Margaret." And then he says, "Also, I want to be renamed." So, yeah, so there's a lot of Margarets. It was funny because I didn't want to be called Margaret because of the fact that it seems so formal, you know. And my grandmother loved to call me Margaret Ann, you know, and that just seemed even more like I was in trouble or something like that. But
you remember,
yeah,
that name. Judy Blume book, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret?
No.
It was a book, it was written for like preteens or early teen girls. Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret? I don't even remember anything about it other than the title.
Huh.
I think I probably read it, but anyway. So my grandma was Margie, which was a cute name.
Margie?
Her friends called her Margie.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
how funny. This is so,
yeah,
this
that
is
was
so
her
many
nickname,
Ooga Boogas.
Margaret.
So many Ooga,
yeah,
Boogas. Yeah, Dudley's mom never went by Margaret either, though. She was Peggy. So
yeah, so Margaret has a lot of, you know, there's a lot of...
Oh. We had
names,
this dictionary
like
that when I was growing up that had all sorts of names and meanings of names and nicknames that you could use for them. And it was amazing how many there were for that one and for others. Hmm. You know, us being curious people, you mentioned the seven C's, and so I just want to say that last year I had five of them, and two got added in during my morning pages or meditation. And now we have seven. There's connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. And, you know, all of those words remind me of you, Kara. They really do.
Oh,
you,
wow.
And your art.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to overwhelm
you,
but they do.
Well, as you were reading them, I was thinking, gosh, those are really words to live by. They really are. They really are words to live by. That's a big, they cast a wide net, you know, and just like we talked about in at least the last one, if not both of the last times, we've talked together
mm-hmm.
about these ideals are such, they're a practice. They are a nobody is foolproof with them. You know, nobody's there's nothing like full compliance with curiosity,
no,
with celebration.
It's just to practice them and to think about them. And, you know, it's amazing there how many words that start with C that there are. It's just, it's incredible. But because there's a lot more words that I could add to the list. But I had wanted to originally just only have like about three, and then it turned into five, and then now it's seven. But, yeah, I don't know. Curiosity and how, okay, so curiosity, I want to get back to your art. I want to talk about your absolutely awesome art. When I walked into your studio with Dudley last weekend on Sunday afternoon, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's like I've been in there before and I always feel this way, but I think especially after not being able to go there last year because of the pandemic, I walked into your mom's office where all your paintings are on the walls, and I just felt joy wash over me, and all the color was just making me feel fully alive and like life is in full color, and there's still joy and beauty and creativity and connection and all those things still here in the world, even though there's so many things out there that we would all like to change right now. So anyway, I just want to say thank you, and also encourage people who are able to, who are local enough to be able to go by and walk in and see the art, the paintings. And the other thing is I wanted to mention is that somebody had posted, oh, those are beautiful pictures, photographs, or, you know, whatever. And they're watercolor. Watercolor is to me, when people can paint with watercolors, that is just like one of the most amazing things. So,
well, I back to the impact of what my art has. I've done some thinking about this. Like, how is it that this is this way? And I've got another C word for you, and it's consciousness. Consciousness. I have become a very devoted student to the evolution of consciousness and culture, and it's helped my whole being calm down about what's happening in the larger world. But I have this absolute knowingness that the consciousness that each of us has is in our work, whether you know, it's in your music, it's in someone's sculpture, it's in someone's writing, it's in someone's business that they build. The way we think, the how we think, the what it is that we base our life on in our presence is imbued in whatever it is we create. So you think I don't think I'm a particularly like off the charts joyful person. I think I'm a pretty positive person. I think I'm pretty optimistic, but I don't think of myself like I think of you as a joyful person. But what I think of myself as is alive. That's where my bias is. So
you think
when
of
I'm
yourself
painting
as alive,
a painting,
you said.
Alive, yeah. So when I'm painting a painting, and I'm also really relational, I relate to everything. I relate to people. I relate to, of course, my animal. I relate to my home. I relate to a place. I relate to the medium of watercolor. I relate to colors. I relate. I find myself in relationship everywhere. I make a telemarketer, or not telemarketer, but like a customer service person, I make them relate to me. I make them like speak to me like I'm a real person by speaking to them. You know, it's like relationship is what I breathe. And so that's the same with my art, my paintings. So if I'm feeling like, do I get you? Do I feel you? Are you there? Do you come alive, painting? If you do, then we're on the right track. And if not, then there's something I need to do. There's something that needs to be, you know, shifted, a color, some more contrast, a clarity of line, something like that. So I think that's just to sort of illuminate for people, like that's what That's why I think there is that impact when people come to my work, because I come to see it and experience it in person, is because there is that. I want for you, when you walk and you stand in front of my painting, to have that same relationship ability to connect with whatever the spirit of the thing that I've painted, mostly flowers.
Yeah, well, I do, and I totally do. Now, the other thing I wanted you to mention, because I don't know what the size of most of those big paintings are that are on the walls there. What are the actual sizes of those paintings? Because they're a lot larger than people are probably imagining looking at the slideshow.
Well, generally the smallest are 22 inches square, and then there are some that are 22 by 30 inches, and then there are some that are just a little under 30 inches square, and then there are some that are 30 by 40, like that. I also have a couple that I've done that are 60 inches by 40 inches. I don't have any of those in my possession right now. Both of those have found their home. But I've done a few, and I have one. We call it the clock painting. The actual title is Eternal. And it is 40 inches by 40 inches. So they're good-sized paintings.
Yeah, and then especially with the matting and the frame, you know, it just, you walk in and you go, wow. So, you know, but I love them in any size. I love the calendars that you have, the latte mugs, the coffee cups. You know, in fact, I'm using the new latte mug that you gave me when I came in last weekend. It's a new treasure of mine. I'm having water out of it while we're doing the show.
I love that. That's wonderful. I had this thought as you know, you all were looking through all this work, and I thought it all starts with my, well, it actually all starts with me in the world, but the, like, how this all these other things begin is I had to make a painting. I had to sit down and make a painting. And there's a lot of devotion there in my sitting down and doing that. These paintings take me a long time.
I can't even imagine how long it would take. Well, it would take me forever, basically. But I don't have enough patience. Dudley's always telling me I don't have enough patience, and I don't think I do for that, you know. But I'm so thankful that you do.
But it hasn't called you. You have other things that you do, you know. So
right.
We all have our
Yeah, it's back to live your music. The whole idea is your music is what your heart wants you to do. And my heart doesn't want to sit and still and create a painting. My grandmother tried to get me to do that. She lured me into her art studio with her oil paints by squishing around the colors. I love the colors. I was fascinated with that. But to actually make them into pictures just didn't feel to me, for me, singing was what gave me the most joy. And so, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, our music, and I believe that we all have more than one music in us anyway. It's not just one thing. It's how, whatever makes you come alive, whatever makes you feel most alive, and why you feel like you're here on the planet, you know, while you're doing it.
Sure, potentially. There's any number of things, you know, the people who are like polymaths, you know, like Benjamin Franklin. He had all kinds of things that he was into and was good at. And then there are other people who seem pretty singularly focused, you know. There's not a lot of and some of those people are quite genius, I think, because they maybe there are other parts of their lives that don't even work well. But they have their life energy is focused in one direction, and whenever that happens, you get excellence. You get expansion. And anyway, so
yeah,
who knows?
So
I mean, I think that there is like, what's the most important thing? I think the most important thing is environment. You know, so that someone can be freed to do, to tap into whatever it is that brings them alive, and then be given the permission for that, and the resources, whatever it is they need, you know, the musical instruments or the art materials, or we keep going back to art, but it might be something else. It might be a baseball bat and a baseball and a glove, you know, that brings someone alive. And
yeah,
so,
that might be being a mom, like for my mom. You know, that's what she wanted to do more than anything, was be a mom, and she loved kids. So, you know, for some people it might be being a doctor or who knows, maybe even a lawyer, you know, and helping people that way. I don't know. But I think that it's important that whatever we do is something that we that resonates with us, and that we're doing it because it feels right to us. Feels right. That's an important part. Feels right, not just that other people go, oh, you should do this or you should do that. That's their opinion. You know, we have to feel what feels right for us and then maybe evolve into something else as it comes too. You know.
I also think that there can be some purpose in not landing on it right away. You know, there's a character that you know, I mean, I was in the tech world for 20 years before I became an artist, and I mm-hmm. do not look upon that time as wasted.
Right.
I have experience of what it's like to live that life. I have skills and a capacity to think in my brain. I mean, I can mm-hmm. make you a spreadsheet for anything you need a spreadsheet made for. You know, I know Excel. You know, it's like uh-huh. no problem. And you know, sometimes those things come in handy, you know, to
right.
be able to have those other skills. And I also think that there's an appreciation for what it feels like to not be in your genius. You know, the desolation of that. I think that mm-hmm. there's always something useful. I was with someone for 14 years who mm-hmm. Fell in love with him, and we were in college together, and we made a life together, and there was no way my soul was going to be able to expand and, you know, explore and do and even just be fully myself mm-hmm. in that relationship. I was absolutely constricted by it. And it put me into a really painful period of time in my life towards the end. I had panic attacks, and
wow.
it was, yeah, I mean, you know, and when I first left, there was lots of blaming of him and, you know, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
But I look back on it now with, like, it was a blessing. It was what, when I married him when I was 25, I told the man who married us, do not use the word God. God means nothing to me.
Uh-huh.
I had a very bright brain, and my bright brain was going to get me out of, and in it was going to help me navigate life.
Right.
8 years later, when the marriage ended, I was down on my knees. I have a relationship with an entity, a sense, the force, whatever you call it. I don't even know.
The great
no
creator,
really.
The great artist.
The great creator, right? Exactly.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Because my ego structures were broken down by the pain I was in, so that I wasn't so confident that I didn't need God. It wasn't even that. There wasn't. God meant nothing to me. That was how it was for me. And that is precious to me, that I have this now. That I have this to go to. That when things get really hard in this last year, and I remember right after 9/11, it was like, where's God? And without that, I wouldn't have gotten it. Or maybe I would have gotten it some other way, but it took hardship. And
yeah, no, I looking back on my life, I feel the same way. I mean, I don't regret any of it, even the parts that were painful and that I didn't like at the time and was maybe crying about or having a fit about or whatever, but they've all been part of creating who I am now and what matters to me now. And Dudley just handed me another note. He says, sometimes we have to grow into what we want to be over a period of life. And that's basically, I think, what you were saying.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before on our first session, but, you know, Mother's Day is not my favorite day of the year. I
yeah.
so wanted to be a mother. I was like, where is the universe where I am not raising children, where I am not giving birth, or I could not fathom it. Mm-hmm. There's still a part of me that can't.
Yeah.
And yet it is that the fact that I couldn't, I tell you what, Margot Joy, if I had children right now, you and I would not know each other. I would not be painting.
Right.
Maybe
yeah,
I
universe,
would, but I wouldn't.
The universe, God, great creator, whoever it is, you were meant to, oh my gosh, the contribution that you're making to the world with your art is just so amazing. And I wish so much I could could go on to Rewind and you could be a mom too. But, you know, that's...
So we all have an unlived life. We can't do it all, you know. It's way it is. And we're all given
like
one life.
You know what? It reminds me of the saying of, you know, how you have to play the cards you were dealt in a game. And in the game of life, you know, we all get dealt certain cards and, we get choices of how we're going to use them and how we're going to think about them and look back on them and how we're going to feel about them. And, you know, we've got only about 3 minutes left, so I'd really like to have you tell the audience what you'd like to leave them with for today.
Well, just be present. Be awake as much as you can. I think that's what we are being called to. And see what it is yours. You know, what's your part in this whole thing as we go forward? Because there's so much that looks like it's messed up,
mm-hmm.
and there's also beauty right next to it. And
right.
I think what we're being called to do is to hold the both at the same time.
To do what?
To hold both.
Oh, hold
at the
them
same
both.
Time.
Hold them both. Yeah.
Hold them both at the same time, and that means this person who believes something that you can't even fathom, and then they also love their children, and you can appreciate those two things at the same time. You know, like,
right.
I think that's where we're being called to. And I think living our music, as you say, or I say, living a life in full color is the whole thing. It's the whole spectrum. It's the whole scale of notes.
Right.
You know, there's
a
time for the deep bass notes, and there's a time for the high lilting sounds, and to have a range and to have the capacity for a little bit more than you have now. Like, you know, what can I include that I couldn't include yesterday in my thinking? Like, what's possible for me to have a larger view of the world? Because it's a hard time. It's a hard time. And I also am never going to paint the dark. As much as I say that, the dark is in my my paintings. If there isn't, then you can't see the light.
Right.
But that's what I'm here to do. That's
it's
what
the
I'm
contrast
here to do.
Of the two, yeah, that makes the whole
picture. That's my piece. You know, that's my piece. I'm here to, like I said last time on that little thing that I saw that Anne Frank said, notice all the beauty still around you and be happy. You know, that a teenager in the midst of the Holocaust could say that, then, you know, gosh darn it, we can.
Yeah.
And there is beauty. I'm right now looking out the window at the fresh, bright green ivy leaves just growing. Mm. Like, no, the earth is still pushing up life incessantly.
Right.
And
yeah.
We're part of it.
Right.
It's a big kind of swoop of energy. And there's also time when things die. I lost my dad this year, and it's
grief is a very human experience, and in my world, it needs to be honored. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, we all need to honor that. We just have lost the live listeners, and we need to wrap it up pretty soon. But yeah, I think so much about your dad, and he's an angel. He's up with my mom. There are angels in the sun, and I can't wait for you to hear our song Angels in the Sun when we get that recorded on my mom's birthday this year. So May 20th, we're going to record that.
All right. I want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be coming soon. Oh, thank you, Kara, for being you and for being a life in full color. You definitely are. And I appreciate that so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. There's nothing like being appreciated for who we are. And I have every bit as much appreciation for you and who you are and what you make possible in the world. So thank you so much for having me on again.
No, you're welcome. Well, anyway, if anybody else is out there listening right now, make sure that you live your music and share this show, the link for this replay of the show with people, and figure out what it is that you feel your heart wants you to do while you're here on Earth. Bye for now, Kara. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Live your music now. Do it now. Bye.